like tonight to turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, book of Isaiah, chapter 40. Again, we have completed our recent series. We'll probably begin another one in a few weeks, but tonight we'd like to look at verses 29 through verse 31 of Isaiah chapter 40. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Isaiah's ministry, we know from chapter 1, the first verse, spans the reigns of four kings, that is, four kings of Judah. His ministry was in a time of great immorality, a time of drunkenness and idolatry, a time of oppression of the poor, a time of great greed. And from reading the book of Isaiah, we see also that there were many false prophets in the land that basically pandered to the desires of the people. In chapter 1, we'll not go there for time's sake, but you can look for yourself. We see the overall spiritual condition of the people. We see from verse 2 that they were a very rebellious people. They were an ungrateful people. In verse 3, we see that they were indifferent. They were unmindful concerning God and concerning the things of God. We see in verse 4 that they were a people laden with iniquity. That is, they were weighted down with sin. And we see also from verse 4 that they had corrupted the things of God. They had forsaken God. They had provoked the Lord over and over and over again. In verse 5, we see that they were in a very undesirable condition. They were in a state of revolt. They were in a state of declining spiritual health. They were in a very weakened spiritual condition, a very feeble spiritual condition. From verse 6, we see that they were hurting. That is, their sin had caused them much grief. And we see also that they were people that were suffering ruin. In response to their condition, Isaiah, in his book, prophesies of the certainty of God's judgment. He tells them that judgment was coming, and that it was coming in the form of a captivity, that they would be carried away captive into Babylon. Notice in Isaiah chapter 39, verses 6 and verse 7, he says, "Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house, and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day, shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away. And they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." And up until the 40th chapter, Isaiah prophesies of this coming judgment. He says, "Because you have sinned, captivity is coming." And then in chapter 40, in verse 1, Isaiah, in the light of the coming captivity, in light of the coming judgment of God, in light of difficult and trying times that would soon come upon them, he seeks to give them some comfort. He seeks to reassure them and to encourage them, but at the same time, he never backs away from what he said earlier. Judgment is coming. There's no escaping this judgment because of the sin that is so prevalent in the land. You will not escape judgment. But there was some comfort. There was some comfort, and he begins to comfort them here in chapter 40 and verse 1. He says, "Comfort ye," this is the Lord speaking to Isaiah, comfort ye my people, saith your God. And you read through that 40th chapter, and we see how it was that Isaiah comforted the people. He immediately drew their attention to the Lord. That was their only source of comfort. I want to speak tonight on a provided and available strength that you and I always have available to us no matter what happens. Whether the judgment of God fall upon our country, no matter what happens, there is a provided and there is available strength for all of God's people. So we see, first of all, that there is a reminder. Isaiah reminds them that they have a source from which they can go to, from which they can draw from. And he draws their attention to the Lord. Again, we see the command in verse 1, and then he begins to say several things about the Lord. Again, for time's sake, we'll not read these verses. But in verse 2, he speaks of the mercy of God. In verses 3 through 5, he speaks of the glory of God. In verses 6 through 9, he speaks of the fact that God is faithful. In verse 11, he speaks of the gentleness of God with his people. Verse 12 and also verse 26, he speaks of the omnipotence or the power of the Lord. Verses 13 and 14, he speaks of the fact of God's omniscience, the fact that God is all-knowing, that there is no searching of his understanding. Verses 15 through 17, he speaks of the sovereignty of God, and he again addresses that in verses 20 through verse 24. Again, this is all to comfort the people. And to comfort the people, he did not tell them, "Don't worry, judgment's not going to come." That's not how he comforted them. Because judgment was coming. There was no getting around that. Judgment was coming. And they would lose everything, and they would be carried into captivity, and even their sons and their daughters would be carried into captivity. So to comfort them, he draws their attention to the Lord. In verse 27, he rebukes them for their discouragement, rebukes them for their despondency. He says, "Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God?" And then we have the question of verse 21, also repeated again in verse 28. In verse 21, he says, "Have you not known?" The implication is this is something they should have known. This is something that they should have been aware of. "Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth?" And then in verse 28, he repeats that. "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God," the everlasting God, the Lord, that is Jehovah, which speaks of the absoluteness of the being of God, his the self-existence of God, the immutability of God, and the sufficiency of God. It says, "Hast thou not known that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator," shows again the power of God, shows the wisdom of the Lord, "that the Creator of the ends of the earth fainteth not." That is, his strength is something you can absolutely depend upon. He does not faint. You are going to faint. You are going to give way. You are going to fail. But have you not heard? that God never faints. God never fails. He can be depended on. He goes on and says, neither is weary. That is, God is never in a weakened condition. And then he goes on to say, there is no searching of his understanding. That is, this God is beyond human comprehension. And again, all of this speaks of the greatness of God. He's reminding them that God is the source. God is the source of everything that they would need. In this hour, in the day of captivity that was coming, God would be the source of everything they would need in that day. Though they were going to go into captivity, all was not hopeless, because they had a source, and there was a strength provided, and there was a strength available to them. Notice verse 29. He, that is the God described throughout this chapter, but more directly, the God described in verse 28, he giveth, that is, this is continuous, this is ongoing, he giveth power to the faint. The faint are those who are at the point of quitting. He giveth power to those who are at the point of quitting. And he would do that, and when the days of captivity would come, there would be many who would be at the point of quitting. But Isaiah is saying, do not forget the source of your strength. He giveth power. He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might. They do not have the ability to go on any further. He increaseth their strength. That is, he enables them to continue on. Again, this is all in the context of judgment is coming. Captivity is coming, but you have a source. And in that source is the strength that you need. And then notice in verse 30, we read of again the faint, or verse 30, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. We see that word faint, we see the word weary, and we see the word fall. It serves as a reminder of the condition that we can get in. We can get faint, where we do not feel like we can go on any further. We can get weary, where we do not have the strength to go on. And we can certainly fall. So it is a reminder of the condition that we can get in, but it also serves as a reminder that those man is not our source of strength. We see here in verse 30, even the youths shall faint. Even the strongest are going to have times when they faint. Even the strongest amongst humans are going to have fainting times. He's telling us here that all human strength does faint. All human strength does eventually fail us. What he's telling them is difficult and trying days are coming. And that even the strong, even the strongest amongst you, may come to the point of quitting. They may come to the point of absolute exhaustion, and they may fall. But there is strength. There is strength in God. And by making this statement in verse 30, he's also again reminding them, do not depend upon man for your strength, because even the strongest will fail. Again, he's preparing them for the coming captivity. He then goes on in verse 31 to show them how it was that they could obtain this strength. How it was that they could draw from the provided and available strength. He says, but, that is, in contrast to the fact that the youth shall faint and be weary, and even the young men, the strongest, shall utterly fall. But, that gives hope. That gives hope. But they that wait upon the Lord, they that wait upon the Lord. So we have here a call to wait upon God. Again, he never backed away from this fact. Judgment is coming. Captivity is coming. Difficult and trying days are coming. Most people today are not comforted unless you tell them it's going to be okay. It may not be okay. It may not be. It may get more difficult. It may get more trying. The real comfort is not that the difficult days are going to go away. The real comfort is God. The real comfort is that there is a provided and an available strength for God's people. They that wait upon the Lord. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 37, in verse 7, he said, wait patiently, which has the idea of enduring. Wait patiently or wait enduring for him. Wait patiently for the Lord. We see also that this waiting is a place of receiving. Notice in Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 9. Psalm 37, verse 9. Evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit. That's to receive. We inherit something, we receive something. They that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. To wait upon God is to be in a position to receive from God. This is a wonderful place to be, to just simply wait upon the Lord. Notice in Psalm 37, verse 34. Wait on the Lord. Keep his way, and he shall exalt thee. He shall exalt thee. Wait on the Lord. And while you're waiting, you do what you know is right. You keep the way of the Lord, and he will exalt you. Doesn't say that he'll take the difficult times away, but he'll lift you up. We see also that it is a place of deliverance. It is a place of stability. It is a place of song. Notice in Psalm 40. Psalm 40, the psalmist in verse 1 said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. There's deliverance in waiting upon God. Out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. There's establishment, there's stability in waiting upon the Lord. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. He has given me a new song. That is, there's joy. There's joy to be had in waiting upon the Lord. We see also it's a place of hope. It's a place of excitement. Notice in Psalm 62, in verse 5. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation. That's the reason we're to wait. For my expectation is from him. To expect something is hope. And waiting upon God gives us hope. It's also the place of blessing. It's a place where we receive the blessing of the Lord. Notice in Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 18. therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. It is a place of blessing. So Isaiah is telling them, captivity is coming. But they that wait upon the Lord, they that wait upon the Lord will receive the strength that they need. And we see also it's a place of satisfaction. Notice in Isaiah 49, it's a place of contentment. Isaiah 49 in verse 23. And kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth, and lick up the dust of thy feet. And thou shalt know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. That is, they'll be satisfied. Those who wait upon God will bring satisfaction and contentment into their lives. Notice in Isaiah 64, in verse 4. Isaiah 64 and verse 4, for since the beginning of the world men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Again, to wait upon the Lord is a place of God's goodness. What God has prepared for us. Even in days of captivity, God has made provision for his people. God has made preparation for his people. And the way that we receive of that is that we are to wait upon the Lord. And then we see also, notice in the book of Lamentations. Lamentations, chapter 3. And verse 25. Book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 25. The Lord is good unto all them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is by waiting upon God that we experience the goodness of the Lord. Verse 26. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait, that is, without complaint, without murmuring, quietly wait for the salvation, the deliverance of the Lord. So Isaiah says here in Isaiah chapter 40, difficult and trying times are coming. But Isaiah reminds them that the Lord would be their source. He would be their source of exaltation. He would be their source of deliverance. He would be their source of stability. He would be their source of song and hope. He would be their source of blessing. He would be their source of strength and satisfaction and goodness. And the sooner that you and I, as God's people, realize that God is the source of these things, nothing else is the source of these things. God is the source of these things. They that wait upon the Lord. What does that mean? What does that mean to wait upon God? Well, I believe it means more than simply waiting the time until God delivers or reveals himself to us. The word, the Hebrew word translated wait in Isaiah 40 and verse 31 is the word kavah, and it comes from a root word that means to bind together. To bind together. Those who wait upon the Lord willfully bind themselves to God. They willfully bind themselves to the will of God. To wait upon the Lord also is to depend upon the Lord. It is to rely completely upon Him. It is to actively pursue His presence. It also conveys the idea of intimacy, conveys the idea of fellowship or interaction with the Lord. Throughout Scriptures, waiting upon God is an act of serving. It's an act of worship. But Isaiah reminds us here that there is great hope. And this is our source. This is where we receive. And this is where it is made available to us to simply wait. To simply wait upon the Lord. So he goes on here in verse 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew. And notice that word shall. It's certain. It's absolutely certain. You wait upon God, you shall renew. That word renew means to change. It means to replenish, to replace, to refresh. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Again, though they're faint, they're about to quit. They're weary, they can't go on much longer. But Isaiah says, they that wait upon the Lord, these individuals shall change their strength. These individuals shall replenish their strength. These individuals shall replace their strength and refresh their strength. And I believe what Isaiah is talking about here in this first part of verse 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I believe that's an inward strength. An inward strength that enables us to mount up with wings as eagles. That enables us to run. That enables us to walk. It's not physical strength that we need. It's an inward strength. It's a spiritual strength. And where does this spiritual strength come from? Is it something that you can work up in yourselves? Absolutely not. Because even the young men shall faint. They that wait upon the Lord, they that bind themselves to God, they that bind themselves to the will of God, it is they that shall renew. It is they that shall exchange their strength. When you and I wait upon the Lord, when we willfully bind ourselves to Him and to His will, and when we actively pursue His presence, and when we are in fellowship with Him and we are serving Him and we are worshiping Him, there is a renewal of spiritual strength. That is always so. I don't believe there's ever an exception. That is always so. If we want to renew our strength, we have to wait upon the Lord. And then we will have an inward strength to do His will. Again, difficult days were coming. And difficult days may be coming for us. Days that are going to require strength. Days that are going to require more than physical strength, more than ordinary strength. Days that are going to require an inner strength that only God can give. And how do we get that? By waiting upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will have a strength to do God's will, even in the midst, in this case, in the midst of captivity. They will have an inward strength to enable them to continue to labor in His vineyard. They will have an inward strength to resist the devil. They will have an inward strength to overcome temptation. And it takes an inward strength. You cannot resist the devil. And you cannot overcome temptation by mere physical and mental strength. It takes an inward spiritual strength. And this strength is acquired by waiting upon God. It is an inward strength that enables us to bear trials. It is an inward strength that enables us to endure hardship. It's an inward strength that enables us to be a blessing to others. We absolutely need this inward strength. And this is what God is telling them. Days of captivity are coming. You are going to need this inward strength. And the way to get it is to wait upon the Lord. And notice what it says here in verse 31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They, that is, they that wait upon the Lord, as a result of this inward strength that they have renewed, they shall mount up, that is, they shall ascend, and they shall soar with wings as eagles. I believe that every saved individual has the potential to soar and to ascend spiritually. But it requires strength. It requires great strength to soar spiritually. It requires great strength to soar above your circumstances. You can try it in your own strength, and guess what? You're tied to this earth. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And as a result of that renewal of strength, they're able to soar above the storms. They're able to soar above the difficulties and the conflicts. And they're able to soar above all the hindrances and all the happenings of life. So we need to ask ourselves, are we soaring? Are we ascending spiritually? And this verse gives us the answer. If we're not soaring spiritually, if we're not spiritually ascending, this verse gives us the reason why. If they that wait upon the Lord renew their strength where they can mount up with wings as eagles, and if we're not mounting up with wings as eagles, guess what? We're not waiting upon the Lord. Because they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles. You think about the eagle. The eagle was created to fly in high places. The eagle was not created to live on ground level. And when you and I received the new birth, when you and I were saved, God created us to live in high places. God did not create us to live at ground level. God's people are not to live at ground level. We are to soar spiritually. And that requires strength. A strength that only God can give. A strength that is found by waiting upon the Lord. And we are called, according to Ephesians chapter 2, we are called to live in heavenly places. But many of God's people were chained down to the earth. Many of God's people live their whole life on ground level. There are so many things, and it's different with all of us, but there are so many things that can chain us to the earth. People can chain us to the earth. Our love for people can chain us to the earth. Our concerns can chain us to the earth. Business can chain us to the earth. Worldly cares can chain us to the earth. Pleasures can chain us to the earth. Our everyday responsibilities can chain us to the earth. Love of the world certainly chains us to the earth. But we're not created spiritually to live on ground level. We are created spiritually to soar like the eagle. But you know, many of God's people, they're more like chickens than eagles. They walk around with their eyes on the ground, just continually pecking in the dirt. And that's how they live their lives. Just pecking in the dirt. Just digging in the dirt. Isn't it much better to soar? To soar above as the eagle. And I believe that's the potential of every child of God. They that wait upon the Lord to renew their strength. As a result of the renewal, as a result of that inward strength, they shall be able to soar above this world. But it goes on. It says also that they shall run and not be weary. They shall run and not be weary. To run is to press forward. They will be able to press forward. Yes, even the best of men, even the strongest of men will be weary and they will faint. But there is a strength that is available to us that enables us to run, that enables us to press on, to keep going. You can't muster that strength up. Oh, you might be able to do it for a day or two, but you can't do it for a lifetime. That requires a spiritual strength. That requires waiting upon God. And then you're able to run. You're able to press forward. And as long as we wait upon God, we shall run and not be weary. And it goes on and says, and they shall walk. And I think of walking. I think of consistent progress. They will have the strength to make consistent progress. And they will not faint. Again, remember verse 30. Even the youth shall faint. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. It doesn't say that the elderly shall faint and that the oldest of men shall fall, though that is true. But the point he is making is the strongest of humans is going to fall. We cannot depend upon our own strength. We have the potential. We have the potential to soar above. We have the potential to press forward. We have the potential to consistently make progress. But that requires a strength. It requires a special stamina. And that is obtained by waiting upon the Lord. I don't believe any of us have ever fully grasped how far we can go spiritually. But we'll have a better idea when we learn to wait upon the Lord and He renews our strength. If we wait upon God, I believe we will receive that strength and we'll say, wow, I didn't even know I could do that. You couldn't. You couldn't. But God gave you inward strength to enable you to go on. And how often we limit and we restrict and we confine and we inhibit and we hinder our spiritual possibilities and our spiritual potential. But we are created by God spiritually to rise above and to go beyond all the happenings of this life. Every child of God can move through this life victorious. But it requires that we wait upon the Lord and receive His strength. Waiting upon the Lord, that is, we willfully bind ourselves to God. That's submission. We willfully bind ourselves to His will. We depend upon Him. We rely upon Him. We pursue Him. We fellowship with Him. And by so doing, we receive a strength that is beyond ordinary strength. And having this extraordinary strength, we are now able to live life beyond the ordinary. There's no reason, there's no good reason for a child of God to live an ordinary life. We have extraordinary strength, the very strength of God, provided and made available to us. And there's no good reason why you should live on ground level. There's no good reason why you should not live an extraordinary life. we need to learn, and I think we learn every day, we need to learn what it is to wait, to simply wait upon the Lord, to take our place at the feet of the Lord. When we wait upon God, what we're doing is we are taking our proper place before God. You will never find the strength you need by running from God. Never. You will never find the strength that you need doing that which is contrary to God. You will find the strength that you need by waiting upon the Lord. And knowing that, you and I ought to flee. We ought to make haste to the feet of the Lord, because we know there I can find strength. So in a time of fainting, I just can't go on any longer. Wait upon the Lord. In a time when you're weary, you do not have the ability to go on, wait upon the Lord. Submit yourself to God. There is a wonderful, wonderful strength by simply waiting upon the Lord. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in a verse of song. Let's all sing.